Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Terry Littlejohn, and I just want to give a thanks and a shout-out to all those who have been listening to me to this show for the last 3 years. I really appreciate the audience. I really appreciate the comments and the people that are calling in and the people that are telling me that they're really learning a lot, and I'm learning a lot from you guys as well. So thank you. Now, tonight's topic, we're celebrating the 90th anniversary of this man's birth, and this man's name is Malcolm X. He was born May 19, 1925, as Malcolm Little, but he was known as El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. But the world knows him as Malcolm X. And I just want to say, this is one man that I really, really am proud to say was a black man that had no fear, that lived his life to the fullest of his ability. And he was definitely a chosen one from God. And he humbled himself tremendously unto God and was his vessel until the end. He knew what the job detailed, yet he continued to humble himself. And I've always said, out of all the great leaders that we've had in our past, that Malcolm would be the one that I would stand behind physically, because I know in my mind that he would have taken that bullet. He would have taken that bullet for any one of us. And just the way he carried himself, I've just never seen anyone like him. Now, I'm going to give you a little history on Malcolm before we go into talking about, had he lived, what a difference this world would be. And I truly, truly, truly believe that had Malcolm X lived, or El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz lived, how much of a difference he would have made, especially for the people here in America, the African-American people. Because he was called one of the greatest and most influential African-Americans in history. And it wasn't just only in America. It was across the world. He traveled and met with people and organized different subject matters about America and the people, and the people in Africa. And he organized these things, and he was about to do great things. And he was a man that came from humble beginnings, meaning that, you know, he was born Malcolm Little, and he was orphaned early on in his life because his father was killed, and then his mother was placed in a mental institution. So he had everything that could possibly go wrong in his life at an early age happen to him. So then he had to go through a series of foster homes. And by the time he was 20, he was put into prison for larceny and breaking and entering. Now, mind you, a man as humbled as he started off in beginning in foster homes, and then he went to prison, and he came out as a great man, and he had joined the Nation of Islam, and he learned a lot about them in prison. So by the time he came out of prison, he had joined the organization, and he began to understand what it meant to be a person that's filled with the Spirit, that's filled with God's presence, So his life took a turn and it took a change for the better. But had he not had that humbling beginning, had he not had that humbling experience, just imagine what his life would have been about. I couldn't even imagine what his life would have been about had he not had that humbling experience. He was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth, so he couldn't relate to that type of life. So therefore, he was able to understand the average African-American man that was living here in the United States in the 60s and the 50s. He understood the plight of the people, of our poor people. He understood the severity of the problems that were heavily integrated into our ghettos, into our poor neighborhoods. He understood the problems that affected our families, such as the father not being there, being murdered, and the mother having a mental problem, a mental breakdown because of it, and having to raise these children by herself. And he understood what it was like for him and his siblings to be separated and to have to go into a foster home. So he understood all of the different things that affected the African-American community in this country. And then once he became spiritual, he allowed God to work in him and to give him answers and to give him ideas to help his people, to help them achieve a respect for themselves, to help them to achieve a righteous path in which they could live. But he did not ignore the fact that America was part of the problem. He did not ignore the fact that America and its institutional racist ways was part of the problem. Now, he went further in his life after he joined the Nation of Islam, and he began to travel the world, and he went on the journey to Mecca because he wanted to understand his spirituality. He wanted to understand the depths of his spirituality. So he went and he took a pilgrimage to the land of Mecca. And there he saw different types of Muslims that were from all over the world. And he saw how they prayed together, ate together, and were able to become one under their spiritual lives. And it made him understand that America had a different type of problem with this racist ways, that America was living in this institutional racism, and that it wasn't just all the white males or the white people that were the problem. Because, as I said, when he went on the pilgrimage to Mecca, he understood that those people were of European descent as well, but they were not treating him the same way that the certain Americans were treating him. So then he began to understand that it was not just a skin color problem, that the problems and the racist problems that were here in America and in Africa were made by the choices that certain people made, that these men made. And he had a plan, and he had a plan that was going to take him across the world to help the African-American people get justice in this country. And not only here, but also he was talking to different people in Africa. He had plans to go to the UN to explain to them the problems that were going on in this country. He was forming different groups to have support systems for the different people here in America that could get help. He had different organizations that he was sprouting up across this country and across the world. And he even had a meeting with Dr. Martin Luther King so that they could talk about the plight of the African Americans in this country. So he had a lot of plans. He did a lot of things. And he only lived a short amount of time. And he was able to do so much in the short amount of time that he lived. Mind you, he was only 39 when he died. He hadn't even reached the age of 40. But because he had humbled himself and given himself totally to God, he allowed God to move in him quickly, and he began to work diligently to make a difference. And it's sad to say we would probably never have in my lifetime another leader like Malcolm X or El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz that reached across the table, reached across the world, reached across to different people just to help his people. His main objective was to help his people because he suffered and he saw his people suffer. He saw his family suffer. So he wanted to make a difference. Now, before I go any further, I see I have callers on the line, but I'm not sure if they're listening or if they want to make a comment about this great man. So I'll start with the caller from 314. Are you there, caller? How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Terry. It's Harriet. I'm just listening.
How you doing, Harriet?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, we're celebrating this 90th anniversary of this great man, and it's sad that you don't see anything about it on the news. You know, people don't have anything about it. It's just really sad.
It is
sad. I haven't seen much about it, but, you know, that's the way it goes. But thank you for listening. I really appreciate it, Harriet.
Okay, you're welcome.
Let me go to caller, let's see, if this is caller 708-218, are you there, caller?
Yeah, how you doing, Terry? It's Cliff.
Oh, how you doing, Cliff? I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm great. You know, I had to give you some support today, even though I've been working all day today. I said, let me get up and support you and then support, you know, legacy of Malcolm X. You know, I just we discussed it on Facebook, and you know, it's they want to suppress.
Yeah.
Doing exactly what they're doing. They want to suppress his movement. You know, so and we just hoping, and you talked about how you might not be able to see another person. We hope to see, because I really didn't get a chance to see at our age, really get a chance
right.
to see him work. So
right.
I look at him like in the sports of Michael Jordan type. If we got a chance to see Michael Jordan, so like they got a chance to see Jackie Robinson, and hopefully, and I pray that we do get a chance to see if it's not become one of us. Because as long as we
right.
still here on Earth, we have an opportunity, just like you coming on the radio every day, and I think about you all the time, about
Thank
what you're
Cliff.
Doing, because I know you be on the radio, you talk, you know what's going on in the local community, you're reaching out, and regardless how many people you get, you continuously to stay with your station, and I love to you know, partner with you sometime on some events on just talking and getting the people to come out. But that's what you have to do, and that's why, you know, today is so important, and I wish I had to put it out a little sooner on my Facebook about you doing the event. But we have to come together and, you know, and keep people like Malcolm X out there. And he's out there. Like I said, it's in me and it's in you. And it's just that, but people are scared to lose. Like, you know, like
right.
me and
yeah.
you, we could have went corporate on a steady basis and did what we want to do. But we are our own person. So because we are our own person, we're not going to be accepted by a lot of mainstream people because of our thoughts, you know, and our inner feelings and how emotional we do get in relation to our state, our community, and our people. So, I've learned to live with it.
That's the problem, Cliff. That's the problem. People are afraid. They want to assimilate themselves. But that's not your purpose. God's purpose is for you to be you. He doesn't want you to assimilate. He made everybody individually themselves. And that's what I love so much about Malcolm. He did not assimilate. Even when he got with the nation, he never assimilated himself. He always
right.
remained his individual vessel so that God could continue to utilize and use him. And
right, he continued to grow to the end. He kept growing
yes.
and growing to a point that people couldn't relate. And that,
right.
that he
right.
had.
He was so deep.
He went out and seek knowledge, that he went out and
yes.
seek knowledge.
Yes.
And he and when he listened to Elijah, but then he began to listen to, he didn't close his mind to
no.
Elijah. He opened the doors for other religions and beliefs
exactly.
and faiths. and conversation. Yeah. So then he became so strong that people would fear them because they became weak.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
In a sense, they understand. And knowledge is so much power, and that's what, you know, we're going through a transition here locally in Country Club Hills, and, you know, but I love to see these young people that are getting out there. They're walking, they're protesting, they're, you know, I see a lot of hope in this because it's coming around. It's coming around. When I discussed about the motorcycle with those gang guys.
Yeah, I started to do a show about them, but I said I didn't want to give them my time. And when I started this, Malcolm is way more important. But it blows my mind
And Malcolm is important because that's what he would talk about today.
Right.
He would talk about that. He would talk about those things.
He would put it right where it belonged, right in their face. And he would break it down and explain that, you know.
How it works, how's it going, right. It's a process, and it's a process like I discussed before, how these young men are not out here holding meetings. Their parents won't let them in the house to have a meeting. To get together, like the Black Panther did. So they talking about we got these gang bangers and they're organized. They're not organized because if they were organized, they have their own place of structure.
Right.
Yeah, they're
totally
doing. They don't have that type of structure.
Totally different thing.
Right.
And like you said on your Facebook, you were talking about the difference. They, you know, I don't like watching the CNN shows, but I watch them just to keep up with what they're saying, and especially the one Don Lemon, and I don't, you know, I really don't like watching him, but he's doing what he's got to do to keep his job, and it just makes me sick. But last night they had a round table discussing that motorcycle situation, and they were telling him, they were pouring it on in him and saying how different the media attacked that versus when they talked about the people in Baltimore, the people in Ferguson, and they do make a difference when the people that are doing all this stuff are of white. Like they said, if it had been about black people, they would have shut them down. The police would have shut them down before they even got to that mall, before they even got to that restaurant. The police would have shut them down. And that's the
part.
But
they, because they are police officers, that's because they are regular citizens. That's why they allowed them to do that, because they are pillars of their community. And if you do the homework, and I don't mean us to get off
probably,
of Malcolm.
Probably a policeman. What you bet?
Right. And that's what we have to do. We have to say, okay, but we have to have more of us doing that and speaking on it. And I think it's going to happen because that's what Malcolm X wanted us to talk about, the issues that concern us on how we're not being treated fair, and then what are we going to do to move forward?
We have to move forward. You know they killed his grandson a couple of years ago. You know that, right? Nobody talks about that.
Right.
There's no special on 2020 or Dateline about that. There's no CNN special about that kid. Murdered him in cold blood in Mexico and then blamed it on the Mexicans. You know, said something about some robbery. When we know they murdered him. And it's sad. It's sad. And
today you still setting the mark. This is being recorded. This is on. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is listening that you never know. Listen, God is listening. When you put it out there like that, everybody knows now. You're learning. And we just have to, no matter how few of us out there, and it was, think about it. Malcolm, I got a picture in my office in my house of Malcolm and Martin Luther King smiling at each other. You know, and they looking at each other, and they just smiling, you know, and they laughing. And Malcolm was taller than him. And it just every day when I see it, it just reminds me of my where we came from and how much we have accomplished. And we are international. It's just that now the leaders are coming, and you can hear them on Facebook. You can hear them on Twitter. You can hear them on TV. They just spread it out, and it's international. So we're working. It always comes around, just like I say with this motorcycle game.
It always comes around.
Praying, you're gonna do it. You're doing it. See, you don't do it. You just don't know how much you are being watched. See, you
thank
work
you.
For, I know where you work at. Those people are watching you, and you think they don't know you got to. If you ran for Robin Kelly position as a U.S. senator, they'll have a fit. They'll,
oh, the radio,
lose
they,
your seat.
They bring it all up. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Right. They'll chastise you. Now, you putting out the word of your people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
truth.
And it's right. And she's walking around here with people from Crestwood who contaminate their whole community with poison water.
Well,
you know, I mean, this
gotta
is.
You've got to understand that a lot of politicians, they're not, as we said earlier, you don't assimilate yourself. You stand as God have you to stand, and you be his vessel. But when you assimilate yourself, then you begin to do what others want you to do and not what you're supposed to do. And that's the problem with America and its politicians. Most of them are assimilated, Cliff. They're bought out. They're not really
right.
real politicians. They're not really standing independently of themselves and listening to what God is telling them to do. They're just an assimilation of people with titles and paychecks. That's what they have become in this country. And it's sad because
right.
we go to other countries and tell them how to do their voting and how to do their political aspects, but we don't correct our own. It's sad, man.
But
that's
why it's people like me and you that got to call them out. Like Malcolm would want
right.
us to call them out. Call
no
a spade
doubt.
A spade.
No doubt.
Right. And what it is.
He's a very
intelligent
speaker.
A sellout,
very.
A sellout.
Yes.
Uncle Tom.
Yes.
I called one of my oldest friends. He's not my oldest, but I know him. Long time ago, I said, your Uncle Tom, but that's not a bad thing, Marcel. That's what your place is, I guess. But it's not that I don't dislike you. He like, you call me. I said,
right.
but I apologize
right.
if I offended you, but that's the place that you put. That, add it up. Match it
mm-hmm.
up. Put your dots where they land.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, and they don't.
Right.
They don't
right.
want you to call it out. Like when Malcolm went on TV,
right.
when Elijah told him don't speak about the Kennedy murder, and he spoke anyway and said the roosters have come. The what did he say? The roosters coming home to. I forgot how he put it, but he made it. He let them know. You know, violence beget violence. Okay. You go and you're out there fighting in another country, a war that's not even your place. But then you get upset when the violence comes back to your homeland. And that is basically what happened. And it's been throughout American history, especially with their presidents and some of their leaders, where the violence has taken them out. And it started back with Lincoln and who knows who else. But, you know,
right.
they got upset with him when Malcolm said what he said to the news people. He said, the chickens are coming home to roost. That's what he said.
And look at it today with these kids coming back from the military, and it was on the news say, and they killing themselves. They come back after this guy
was a
marksman,
crazy.
Killing people over there in Iraq. He gets back here, and he kills himself. They're killing each other 22 a day.
Yeah,
the guys
it's
in the military 22 a day. Why are they
it's
killing?
It?
Because it's going to come back to haunt you. It come back
mm-hmm.
to haunt you.
Oh, no doubt.
After all what
no
you done
doubt.
Did,
well,
you see that
right,
you
right.
you realize it wasn't worth what they did wasn't worth it. Wasn't
well,
worth killing hundreds and thousands of people.
Right, right.
You know,
well,
it wasn't
God,
worth
Lord
it. It wasn't
God.
Worth it. Whatever they get.
No,
it wasn't
look
worth
how they
it. And
the
and
American
so,
Cliff. Look how they glorified that movie, American Sniper. What is that about, Cliff? Think about it. And then how did he die, Cliff? By the very
yeah.
same violence that he was
but
famous
through
for.
His own his own people who surround his friends. So
that's
quote unquote, right?
Point. Yeah, it's sad.
Right.
They don't think about that. You know, they
right.
talk about black on black crime, but white on white crime is 80-some% of white people get killed by their own race, and they say it's like 90-some percent
mm.
blacks get killed by their own race. So to me, it's the same. It's the same across the board, and we're really not. Dealing with the real issues, you know, we're just skinning across, you know, just like a cake, just taking the icing off. We're really not cutting a cake in this country. We're not cutting a cake about the institutionalized racism. You got laws in this country that are so old, Cliff, that they don't even know how to understand them. And they were just think about it. These laws were made by a few men in a few colonies. It wasn't even the full 50 states when these laws were made. And they're still living with these laws, and they still expect people from all over the world that have come here to live by these laws, and they don't ever want to change them. They just go in the books and amend them, but they don't change them. So you have a serious problem. And that's what I liked about Malcolm. He was dealing with these laws because he knew they needed changing. He was going before the UN. He was going to meetings with different people across other countries and explaining to them how the government worked in the United States. He was explaining to them about the different things that the United States was doing, because the United States at that time in the 60s were projecting that they were this great country, but yet and still they were at war, and they were in war for no reason. So he was explaining to the people how the United States is sitting here telling other countries don't do this, but look what they're doing to these people. Look what they're doing to our people in the South. Look at the laws. Look at the voting laws. Look at the civil rights laws that are not even all the way correct, you know, in this country. It's just so much, Cliff. It's just so much. And
got to find a way to pinpoint everything and put everything in perspective, because it's all still boiled down to, and I hate to say it all, it all boiled down to the mighty dollar economics. And once education and economics, if we educate our people and we also understand about economics and we understand what they're really doing, they're already taking everything what we build in our community and taking it out. But our mind is so lost that we're not focusing on that. We're traveling outside our community more and more to get goods. We're spending our money. We've been doing it more than ever now.
Yes.
And we're doing it now. Yes. And we have to come up with answers, because we got to guide the people, because they're so blind. You have to put it in the front of their face.
Well, you do. It's everything, Cliff. They did. They had a design, man. They had a design. They had a plan. They knew exactly what to do. You know, part of it was the music. Part of it was the drugs. Part of it was the way, the fashions. And then when I read something about Malcolm, it said that he was a skillful speaker, but he was also impressive with his physical presence. He was 6'3", and they talked about how he was powerfully built, and he always was spotlessly groomed. Well, think about it, Cliff. Think about it. Back in the day, you know, when my dad was coming up, they couldn't wear pants until they were a certain age. They wore knickers and all of that. And when you had a suit, that meant that you were becoming a man and you were something. Think about what they have done in the last 30 years in our lifetime, how they've changed the fashion and made these young men think that it's okay not to wear a suit. They go to job interviews with no ties on. They wear these sagging pants. They wear undershirts. They have put this out there in the mainstream, in the commercials, in the rap music, in all the videos, and showed them that this is the way they should dress, when we all know that that is so far removed from how you feel great about yourself. Just think about it.
It won't allow them that's to prevent them to go into mainstream publication.
They would never get to Wall Street.
If you could slow them down, look at his hair, look at it. Whatever they can do to slow them down.
Right.
And let them feel uncomfortable.
Lobbyists, all of that. That's where you make the changes. That's where you make the changes. And they will never get there.
That's where you make the changes. Right. And you know what, though? But you got to look at it this way. Sometimes, and I've learned that change, but I forgot what Ben said, change is okay, because if they're doing it, because it's other countries, they haven't conformed to wearing suits in the Arab countries.
Down.
In the Arab countries. They haven't worn outside. Sometimes that's a sign of independence and conformity. And so you got to always, sometimes I always look at it, when it's half full, it's half empty, half full. Okay. Once again, thank you so much.
Thank you,
and I'm glad you did.
I
just have to support you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I just thank you, Cliff, for your comments and your support. As always, stay true and be blessed. Till next week. Thanks. God bless.
All right. Later.
Thanks, Cliff. Bye-bye.